We turn now to the Word of God. Our scripture reading this evening is from Psalm 78, first 8 verses. And then we'll read our text, which is Proverbs 22, verse 6. Let us read the Word of God, hear the Word of God, Psalm 78, 1 through 8. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Turn to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is the word of the Lord. In a few moments, we're going to be witnessing four baptisms. We're blessed in our congregation that baptisms are not an infrequent event. These are fitting occasions to hear from the Word of God some aspect of the meaning of baptism, some implication of baptism. This evening we're going to consider the responsibility of parents of baptized children to train them to be believing and obedient children of God. So do that by considering this verse from Proverbs in its larger covenantal context. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, it must be said at the outset that this is not a promise. It is a proverb. It is not a promise. A promise from God is something that will surely come to pass. Some of God's promises are unconditional. They will happen no matter what. Promise of the return of Christ is such a promise. Some of God's promises are conditional. They will certainly be fulfilled if the condition is met. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Such a promise. If we truly believe in Jesus Christ, we can be absolutely certain that we will be saved. God's promises cannot fail. A proverb is not a promise. It is an observation about life. This proverb is the observation that, generally speaking, children who are trained the way that they should go do not depart from that way when they are old. That is what usually happens. It does not always happen. Sometimes children who are trained in the way that they should go do depart from that way when they are older. That is a sad but undeniable fact. And this fact does not negate the force of this proverb. The fact that some children who are trained in the way that they should go do not continue in that way when they are older does not in any way contradict what this proverb is saying. Because it is not saying that every single child who is trained in the way he should go will surely stay on that way. The proverb is simply saying that, generally speaking, children who are trained in the way that they should go will not depart from that way when they are older. Now, many of us can testify to the truth of this proverb from our own experience and from our own observations. Most of us were raised in Christian homes. We're still walking in the way that we have been trained to walk. We're raised in families and in churches where most of the children and young people are still following the Lord. That is the observation that this proverb is making. The experience of most of us confirms what this proverb is saying. And that is a wonderful encouragement. This proverb is not a promise, but it is a wonderful encouragement. It means that, generally speaking, God does bless the efforts of parents who faithfully train their children in the way that they should go. That is a wonderful encouragement. Christian parenting is hard work. It is hard work for an extended period of time. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. But if we are faithful, it usually works. That's what this proverb is saying. And indeed, God usually blesses even if we are partially faithful. There are many degrees of faithfulness. And I'm, for one, I'm glad and thankful that God does not require us to score 100% in faithfulness before he blesses our efforts. Generally speaking, if we are relatively faithful, God blesses our efforts. And children live Christian lives in God's service. Doesn't mean that we can slack off, but it does mean that God is gracious. And he blesses our less than perfect efforts. That's because of his grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to put this proverb in its covenantal context. This whole matter of training a child in the way that he should go is a very important part of the covenant relationship between God and his people. The Bible uses the idea of covenant to describe his relationship with his people. God promises to be the God of his people. That is at the heart of the covenant idea. God chose the people of Israel to be his people, and he made a covenant with them whereby he swore an oath that he would be their God and they would be his people. He rescued them from Egypt. He brought them to the promised land. He cared for them. He protected them. He loved them. Did a quick search this week. The phrase, your God, in the book of Deuteronomy in my handy Logos Bible program. 284 results in 243 verses. Of the phrase, your God, in the book of Deuteronomy. God speaking to his people refers to himself over and over again as your God. That is the heart of the covenant relationship. That continues in the New Testament situation with the new Israel, the New Testament people of God. Paul writes in Galatians 3:29, and if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. That means that followers of Jesus Christ are God's covenant people in the New Testament situation. Now there are two parts to the covenant relationship. Some of you will remember how this is expressed in the old form, the old Reformed form, for the administration of baptism. We would have heard it many times growing up. Whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts. Therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience. Namely that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind. With all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. The response of faith and obedience is an integral part of the covenant relationship. Think of the book of Deuteronomy again, in which God refers to himself as your God 284 times. If you ever read the book of Deuteronomy, you will remember that there are an awful lot of verses calling Israel to obey. For instance, Deuteronomy 13:4, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him. And this would include all that we include by the terms trust and obey, or faith and obedience. Now, it's crucial that we understand that children are part of this covenant relationship. The covenant is not made with God and adults only. It's between God and certain adults with their children. When God made the covenant with Abraham, it was very specific about the inclusion of Abraham's children. Genesis 17:7, "And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God to you and to your offspring after you." Genesis 17:9, "And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations." So the children of the people of God are part of the covenant relationship. And as such, they have been born with the obligation to believe and obey. But they are required to keep the covenant that God has made with them by trusting in the Lord, by obedience, by the obedience of faith. And to that end, God has given parents the task of training their children to live the life of faith and obedience. It is that concern that is expressed in Psalm 78:5-7. "He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and rise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." So these verses show how God takes the long view in his relationship, in his covenant with his people. He doesn't think only of the generation that is adult at any particular time. He thinks multi-generationally. God does not only want the current generation to serve him, but the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. It's an important part of his plan for the survival and for the flourishing of his kingdom through time. God thinks in terms of generations. That means that passing on the faith is a very important part of the program. Very important to God that not only the current generation serve him, but the following generations as well. And the primary way that he has established for this to happen is for believing parents to teach their children. What parents are supposed to teach their children are not just the facts, although they are important, but they are to teach their children to set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. This is the covenantal context in which we are to understand the proverb, "Train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it." In the covenant that God makes with us, he promises not only to be our God, but also the God of our children. He requires not only that we love and serve him, but our children love and serve him as well. And that is the way of blessing, both for us and for our children. To keep the covenant, to obey, to love and obey God is always the way of blessing and comprehensive well-being, because that is how God has designed us to live. So let's look for a moment at this whole matter of training a child in the way that he should go. It's a huge part of what the covenant is all about. Parents training their children in the way that they should go. That's how God intends for we and our children to receive the blessings of the covenant, which flow from an obedient life motivated by love and thankfulness to God. Well, an important part of teaching a child the way he should go will always involve teaching. The Bible has a lot to say about the importance of parents teaching their children. We've seen that in Psalm 78:5. "He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach their children." Parents teaching their children is also an important part of the teaching of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 1:8, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. The content of this teaching, according to Psalm 78, is the testimony in Jacob and the law in Israel. In other words, the word of God, the Bible. It's also the focus of the great passages in Deuteronomy, which command parents to teach their children. So Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. It's pretty straightforward. We have the word of God. We have our children. We are to teach the word of God to our children. But how? How do you do that? Lots of different ways. The Bible is a big book. There's a lot to learn, and so it's necessary to attack this task from different angles over a long period of time. The most obvious is simply reading the Word of God with our children when they are younger. We may want to use children's Bibles. When they are older, we can read the Bible itself. Often that happens in family devotions and as part of the ongoing of the going to bed ritual. It always happens as part of homeschooling or in Christian schools. It will happen in church, as Sunday school, and in the worship services. But just reading is not enough. We all know how little sticks from just reading. So there needs to be some way of teaching that goes along with the reading, asking questions, giving explanations, and discussing how a passage applies to our lives. Certain key passages can be memorized. All of this is very important. It is important to know as thoroughly as possible the contents of the Bible, the Word of God, the storyline of the Bible, and as the children get older, the non-story parts of the Bible. But teaching the Bible must be learned from another perspective. The Bible is a big book. To get a good grasp of the overall message, it's necessary to learn some kind of summary of biblical teaching. And that's where catechisms come in. In our situation, it's the children's catechism, the Westminster Shorter Catechism, are most commonly used. These catechisms were designed to teach the main lines of biblical teaching to children, to young people, as adults as well. A great way to teach the biblical message to our children by requiring that they memorize these catechisms over their growing up years, can learn a great deal of the key teaching of Scripture. And these catechisms have been used by generations of parents to teach Bible doctrine to their children in a very effective way. Of course, adults learn a great deal as they do so. Now again, it's important that parents not only teach the catechisms to their children, but also they explain the various concepts that are taught in them. Many helps for this. G.I. Williamson has a great book on the Shorter Catechism. Jeff Kingswood has written a book to help parents teach the children's catechism called From the Lips of Little Ones. And Star Mead has written a great book, Family Devotions, based on the Shorter Catechism, called Training Hearts and Teaching Minds. All of this is an important part of training our children in the way that they should go. It's not the only part, as we'll see in a moment, but it is an important part. The Bible contains truth that must be learned, and it is the responsibilities of parents to teach it. But there is more, as I said, than simply filling up the heads of our kids with knowledge, important as that is. The text in Proverbs that we're seeking to understand and apply speaks of training a child in the way he should go. The way, the word way, is an important biblical word in both Testaments. It refers to our way of life. Deuteronomy 5:33, Moses says to the children of Israel, you shall walk in the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land you shall possess. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. And Psalm 119:1, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. So when we're talking about training a child in the way that he should go, we're talking about training him or her to live in a certain way, to live a way of life that is pleasing to God. That certainly begins with teaching the truths of God's word, but it doesn't end there. Training involves practice. Training involves hands-on experience. Training involves doing. The trainer shows the trainee how to do what is being learned and uses his authority to get the trainee to practice what is to be learned. Here we're not simply speaking about some skill that is to be learned, but a way of life. Training involves parents using their authority to make children live the kind of life that they do not want them to depart from when they are older. Now, this, of course, includes many things because the whole of life is involved. It includes things like prayer and Bible reading and attending worship services at church. It involves being kind and caring. It involves confessing sin and asking for forgiveness. It involves tithing. It involves avoiding unwholesome entertainment. It involves nurturing the fruit of the Spirit. It involves acts of service to other people. Parents train their children in all the facets of the Christian life by requiring that their children live according to the commandments and the principles of the Bible. Part of this training process is providing an example of faithful Christian living. Example is a big deal in the Bible. Jesus is our ultimate example. Paul often called people to follow his example. Church leaders are called to be examples to the flock. Certain part of the training that parents are to give their children is to give them a good example of the kind of life that the Bible requires of us. Another part of the training process shows how biblical teaching applies to, is rather showing to our children that how biblical teaching applies to all of life as it is being lived. Well-known passages in Deuteronomy teach this in a striking and a memorable way. Deuteronomy 11:19, you shall teach them God's statutes, that is, you shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house and when you are walking by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. Now, this presupposes a high degree of spiritual mindedness. In order to teach God's word to our children when we are sitting and walking and lying and rising, we need to have God's word in our own hearts and to be thinking in terms of it all the time. Jesus says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So there must be an abundance of God's word in our hearts so that we can speak God's words to our children when we are sitting, when we are walking, when we are lying, and when we are rising. Now clearly this is pretty intense, this matter of training a child in the way that he should go. Clearly, it's something that's very important to God. It takes a lot of godliness and effort. But we're not done yet. Something else that must be stressed because of the nature of the obedience that God requires from us and from our children. We're not there yet if our children's heads are filled with the knowledge of the Word of God. We're not there yet if our lives conform outwardly to God's word. God is as interested in our inner life as he is in our outer life. He's interested in our motivations as well as in our actions. God wants us to serve him motivated by love and by gratitude and a desire to please him. So parents in training their children must include the hearts of their children as well as their actions in the training program. Now, you'll understand, of course, that we are not able to change children's hearts. That can come only from the Lord. Our children have sinful hearts by nature, and at some point, those hearts must be changed. There must be born in them an inner desire to please God. and God must perform that change. But he uses means. He uses the word. He uses instruction. He uses training, an example. And all of that is presupposed when our text says, train up a child in the way that he should go. The text presupposes that God will use the training of parents not only to shape a child's outward actions, but also his inner life. Training must include shaping of the hearts of our children, knowing full well that God must be involved in this process if it is to bear fruit. Proverbs makes quite a big deal of this. Chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. And 4:4. Teach your heart, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. 21:2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. 23:17. Let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all the day. 23:19. Hear, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. Clearly, according to Proverbs, training includes training the heart as well as the actions. But again, how do we do this? Here again, we must begin with the Word of God. We must teach our children that God knows what lives in our hearts, and that God cares about what lives in our hearts, and that God requires that we love him with all our hearts, and that we be motivated out of a desire to please him above all else. So we must train our children to understand their hearts. For that, we must have some practice by having experience in knowing our own hearts. We must be familiar with our own motivations and how often our own motivations are sinful and mixed. And then we must seek to teach these things to our children. We teach them to examine their own hearts, to be aware of motivations. That will take discussion and probing. Often this is done in connection with discipline, through asking questions. Parents can help their children discern sinful motivations and instruct them in the context of real life situations, the motivations that God requires. It can help them to see the difference between selfishness and love as motivations for our actions, between pride and humility, such things. It's in the context of such discussions that we can teach the gospel to our children. It's especially when we begin to understand what lives in our hearts in the light of God's word that we come to see how sinful that we really are, to some extent at least. We can certainly learn of our sinfulness by comparing our outward actions with what God requires. But when we consider our hearts, we gain a deeper understanding of our sinfulness and thus also of our need of forgiveness and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. The heart of our teaching and training must be the Word of God, which is the gospel of the forgiveness of sins, the renewing of our lives through Jesus Christ and what he has done. I've spoken of the training of our children in the context of the covenant. Much of this instruction comes to us from the Old Testament, but one of the great things that the Old Testament demonstrated was the need of forgiveness and the need of the inner renewal that comes to us through the new covenant and through Christ, the Christ of the new covenant. And Jeremiah spoke of this in Jeremiah 31, 33 and 34. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord, that I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This promise is fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is our hope for our own salvation and for the salvation of our children. We are called to train up our children in the way that they should go, with the confidence that even when they are old, they will not depart from it. The heart of that training is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because of that gospel, we can train our children in hope, because through it, God forgives the sins of all those who trust in him and writes his law on their hearts. When we think of our weakness and our failures as trainers of our children, we can push on in hope, because there is the grace of forgiveness and renewal for us in that gospel as well. When we think of the sinfulness of our children, we can train them in hope, because the promises of this gospel are given to covenant children and sealed to them in their baptism. And we know that God does not make those promises for nothing. We have the encouragement of this proverb: train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful covenant relationship that you have established between yourself and your people. We thank you for the fact that it includes our children. Lord, that gives us a great responsibility, those of us who are parents and grandparents, because we see from your word that the way in which you have designed for the gospel to pass from one generation to the next is through the instruction of parents to their children. We thank you for the encouragements from your word, from the passage that we have looked at, from the covenant relationship, from the fact that we see in Bible history and also in church history and in the history of our own lives how you do bless your people through generations. We also see in that same history that sometimes a generation falls away from the Lord. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to be faithful in our generation, and that you would grant that all of our children, that they may walk in the way that they should go, even as they are old. Pray that you would bless each of our families and all of our children. We thank you for evidence of that blessing that we may already see. In Jesus' name, amen.